Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So in this very special bonus episode, we caught up with The Real Housewives of New Jersey and Manzoed with Children alums, Chris and Albie Manzo.
The boys are all grown up and they continue to stay true to their Garden State roots.
Yeah, they both have started businesses since we last saw them, and they're currently working together on their own podcast called Dear Albie.
Well, we got into all of that, but of course, we also had to ask about Caroline's view on their current dating situations. Okay, so we are here with Albie and Chris Manzo. Hey, guys.
Hey. What's happening?
How are you?
Hanging.
So you guys are still living in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Any plans to leave? You're going to stay there?
I actually, it was my last kind of thing on Manzo. I thought about leaving.
Right.
I wanted to go to New Orleans for a year. I don't know if that was on TV or not, but I wanted to go to New Orleans for a year, and then my sister got pregnant, and I was like, oh, I should meet that kid. Mm-hmm. And I stuck around for her for a little bit, and then I... randomly opened a business in Hoboken, so now I'm tied to New Jersey, I think, for the foreseeable future.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for as much as we talk about maybe wanting to leave one day, it's hard for me to picture living anywhere else. You know, I've got business now, California, Miami, Chicago, so I'm there all three pretty often. And I can't picture just up and leaving, you know,
right.
Regardless of the roots and everything like that. Just I think it's just kind of part of who we are, you know?
Absolutely.
So it makes it kind of difficult to think about anything else.
I would love to up and leave.
It's not New really Orleans part still?
Of it. I don't know. I just would love to, even if it was just for a year, just to say that I did kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I always say that. I'm kind of all talk.
Well, you never know. So how are your parents doing?
They're doing good. Mom's like super grandma right now.
Yeah.
Dad's like, you know, keeping it going. It's funny. Like Marky has definitely changed the dynamic of the family. I didn't think we can get much closer. I think honestly, like me and Lauren.
That's Lauren's daughter for those that haven't been keeping up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's brought everybody closer in a lot of ways. And you know, we're all going to Disney together, for example, like which is really wild because I thought we were pretty dumb at family vacations. And now it's right. Like, well, it doesn't really count because it's kind of like a new family now. Like Vito's coming and Lauren's coming and, you know. You have to kind of, it's really just created a dynamic that's a lot more fun than it even used to be. So it's kind of like we're learning all over again how to be a family.
What is it like being an uncle? What's the best part of it?
You know, the best part is when she starts crying or, you know, smells or something, you can just give her back. You know what I mean? It's like somebody else's job. But yeah, I mean, for me, just being around her, it's made me want to have kids more. And settle down in a weird way because it's just been so much fun. But yeah, it's a job. It's a job, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun to watch Lauren transition because, like, we obviously grew up with Lauren Lauren our whole lives was like the person you can't leave around sharp objects or hot items. And now she's like a very attentive, good mom, you know? And it's cool. It's just fun to watch. Like, you know, you say, like, oh, we're all growing up, and you see people get married, this and that. But when it's your own family, it's a lot closer to see that, like, that maturity and, like, the – everyone is also so full of it where, like, they'll say, oh, being a mother's so great, and this and that. Lauren's so brutally honest with every good and bad thing that happens. And it's just – it's a very – it's cool, honestly, to see her kind of grow up. Like, she was always obviously an adult already, but it's a different level when you have a kid.
Right.
I'm told.
Yeah. What about Vito as a dad?
Vito as a dad is Vito as a person. He's just Vito still. I don't think anything could change that kid. He's just like, but he's very everything. He types in all caps.
The Kanye tweet.
He really is.
That's exactly him.
So every now and then I'll just get like a text, not a picture of the baby, that's like perfect face, like in all caps. And I'm like, okay, I'm assuming there's a picture of Marky coming at some point. Doesn't really ever show up, though.
Right,
I'm assuming
right.
That's what he's talking
about. He loses
about.
His service. It doesn't send.
But he's the same. He's the same guy. But they're both so happy and just enamored with her. It's like, it's awesome just to watch the two of them.
Do you think they'll have more kids?
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I know Vito definitely wants to have a boy, you know. But I think, I was talking to my mom about this. It's so hard for me to picture loving even another kid as much as like we love Marky. It's really, really strange. It kind of, in a weird way, almost like I'm the oldest on the Manzo side. So we would make fun of my grandmother because she would actually say, and she will listen to this, by the way. Grandma's like the most supportive person in the world. But she'll call me, Albie, I listened to you guys on the podcast. It was so good. And it's made me kind of like have to watch what we say on like Dear Albie and stuff now because I'm terrified of what she's going to find out about us. But she, you know, will openly admit that I am her favorite grandchild. Like in front of everybody at Christmas. She does not care.
And like on Christmas, she gives everyone a card, but she writes something in Al's card.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
It's not just a signature.
Just love grandma. My
right.
Card.
That's
all. So like with Marky, if I have kids, okay, and my mom was like, look, Marky's my favorite, I would totally get it. Like I would 100% right. understand. Yeah. Right. So it's kind of put a lot of things in perspective.
That's cute. Well, she is adorable.
She's cute.
We love keeping up with her on Instagram and everything.
Yeah, she I think I've desensitized her a little bit to arguing because she thinks it's funny. Like we have these like little arguments that I'll throw on Instagram like randomly. And she just like when she actually does something wrong and her mom tries to discipline her, she thinks I feel like she thinks it's like, okay, I'm on now. I've got to respond back.
It's
like,
a challenge.
Yeah, I've like produced my 2-year-old niece.
How is 10th Street Pasta and Pizza doing?
It's
you
been
mentioned
great.
It earlier.
It's
yeah.
been great. We were actually just talking about it on the way here. It's something that, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize. I guess it's easy when you're watching a show and you see other people try different businesses and different things like. People kind of forget I started the show when I was 18. You know, I'm 29 now, so there's been a lot of I tried a lot of stuff, you know, and the only thing that really kept calling me was the restaurant business. And I think when you're not doing a show like the one we were doing, it becomes easier to focus just because when you're doing it's a lot of fun. Like I'm not gonna say, oh, the show takes over your life. It's not. It's completely personal decisions that like it's just fun, you know. You have all these yeah. opportunities to do things and you know, you live one life kind of thing, and you have the chance to travel and meet all these crazy people, and you don't want to work, truthfully. You know, you don't want to be busy. You don't want to be tied down to a place or anything like that. And it took me a while to realize that. I was like, no, you just don't want to work right now.
Right.
And then once the show was over, it was easy to say, okay, you know, you got a free 9 years when you're supposed to be the busiest, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, like, you get to work, and it's been a lot more fun than I thought being busy. You know, I thought I was going to hate it. Now I'm like I said, it's like supercharged battery. I'm sure, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I'm very the restaurant's going to last. I mean, my enthusiasm. But it's been great. It's been extremely well received. I swear to you, I would never be a part of something. I love food too much to be a part of something bad. So, yeah. Like, the food is just – it's such a different atmosphere. I really enjoy it there a lot. And something I thought I would dislike more than I do. I
right.
really enjoy it.
We're growing up. That's what it is.
Yeah. I don't like that I enjoy it in a weird way. But it's,
right.
it's – like, whenever something comes up to maybe do something with the TV world or I'm like – I'm kind of out of it, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And Albie, you just started actually a flower company, which was something you kept under wraps for a little while. So congratulations on that.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. So
he was sitting on them, he said.
Now,
right.
Now, you know what? And so funny, because when I posted that, I kind of just put my phone back in the pocket and just didn't really think about, all right, how are people going to react to it? And then I saw a bunch of responses that like came in and they were at Chris. And I was like, what did he say? And he goes, which one were you sitting on? And because, of course, God forbid I have like a moment with anything. I can't just like, you know, like, hey, man, like a congrats would have been fine in that moment. It would have been cool.
Well, Al, first for context, Al posted a picture. And said, I've been sitting on this for a while.
I had
a
been sitting
of
on
flower.
It for a while.
I was like,
no,
I'm like, all right.
Nah,
that's
so,
a weird thing.
Nah, I just kinda,
if it still smells good. That's a great flower.
Right,
man.
Yeah,
I look at
quality flowers.
Nah, I look at, you know, it's funny. So Bloom and Birch is it's a flower company that I got involved with almost a year ago. And basically, I'm an owner of the company. I help operate it every day. It's real flowers that last a year. You don't have to water them or anything like that. So when I got involved, some friends of mine in California had started the business under a different name and just said, look, you know, the way I work with regular brands now, I've got, you know, probably about a dozen different projects that I'm on in one way or another almost every day. And I love the idea and just kind of when it made sense to, you know, post it after I thought we had gotten to a place where, you know, we could handle shipping and all that other stuff.
Right.
I did. So, you know, I didn't, I don't usually like making quote unquote big deals out of things. Like, you know, for me, it's like, just take us to Instagram. Like I feel connected to people there still. You know, maybe even from the show or this or that. And I really take, what everybody says pretty serious and try and like learn from it, at least the ones that, you know, are obviously, you know, real people at a minimum. So when I threw it up there, the response was awesome. And people, it's probably the most exciting brand I've ever been a part of from the standpoint of like how fast it's grown and the response to it. And like, I just did a really great event at West Elm, and I was in Nordstrom in Palo Alto, and we've got really great partnerships with like JDRF and Lucille Packard Foundation. I toured the hospital out there. That was great. So it's just it just is a really good feeling that everybody's supported the way that they have. And, you know, I should have brought some for you guys. It's like, you know, we gotta use some color in here.
They last a year. I mean, that'd be great.
At least. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to take care of them, which is great for me because I can't have a pet. Like, I can't have a goldfish, let alone, right. like, you know, remember to water a plant. So,
right.
You know, it's a fun one. It's a fun one.
So being both business owners now, did you get any advice from your parents when you started off in these businesses?
Oh, it's a little different for me because I'm in the restaurant business and I got all of my education my whole life through my father working for him. And, you know, that was pretty well documented on the show as well. There wasn't any like, hey, Dad, this is what I'm doing. It was more... okay, like now it's time to, all those times I got yelled at and didn't really understand why, I have to start making sense now because it's, you know, I'm in the opposite seat. And, but I bounce a ton of things off my dad, but it is funny though, because it's such a different business. You know, he does weddings and super formal and we're a nicer place, but it's essentially pizza and a lot of home style Italian food and stuff. So, I get a lot of advice from him, but it's more so like it's more facts. Like, hey, like, how long is this good for? You know, how long is this? Do you know a good supplier for this? But as far as advice goes, it's actually a cool, my dad and I have a different sort of dynamic than we did. We bounce ideas off each other a lot because we're just in the same business.
Right. You know? Yeah. Equal playing field, kind of.
Yeah. It's fun though. Cause you could tell he likes what we're doing too. Cause it's just so different than what he's used to. And it's such a small place. It's very intimate. It's easy to kind of obsess over that place. It's very creative. We change the menu every week. We don't really have like rules there.
Right.
You know,
right.
He loves that kind of thing a lot.
That's awesome. Al, what about you, Annie?
Yeah, for me, you know, the way that I get advice from really both my parents is a little bit different because my world is very different from the one that they've come out from. You know, obviously it's not, you know, like a catering hall, but entrepreneurship, right? And where I talk to him and I have really, really deep conversations with him is honestly like the last few years of my life have been really scary because to get into these brands, you know, you're either investing your time, your money, or whatever it is. And it doesn't always, you know, it's definitely not guaranteed to work out. Like, there's a typical job, you walk in, you spend 5 years somewhere, you can pretty much pick out the office you're going to sit in and the raise you're going to get. I don't have that. I mean, I could work for years and years and years and make less money. And you have to have a stomach for doing that. And it's scary. And I've got, you know, if there's any place that we've hit the absolute jackpot, it's with our parents. I say that all the time. And going to him, it's a lot more of, hey, look, you know, am I doing everything in a way that you think makes sense? Like, I don't get babied in that stuff. I don't sit with him and say, hey, look, I need a pep talk. It's if you think I'm not good at what I do, I want to know because I trust your opinion. And for years when I just wanted to say, hey, look, maybe I should just stop and get a job, he was the one saying, you know, you are great at this. Keep pushing. And, you know, one day just things kind of clicked. And, you know, there are a million different projects. Like, there's something, you know, it's funny. I was telling Chris even before we leave, I can't talk about too much, but one of the projects that I have is in this building. Like, no, like really, really crazy stuff. One of the brands I work with, right?
He didn't tell me that.
No, that's true. You knew it when we were coming up. I said, we got to stop there. But it's a long story. But anyway, like, that to me is cool. You know, there are a lot of things that I've touched on that, you know, have gone to the moon in ways that I couldn't imagine. And there's some things I thought would be gigantic that didn't pan out. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's just in me. I'm addicted to this. And where I was really, really afraid of how things were going to work several years ago, like, it's the best memories now to think about how scared I was, you know, and how bad of a financial position I had to put myself in to get some of the things going that I have. And, you know, now that it finally looks like, yeah, those were good decisions, like, you know, I've got my parents to thank for that pretty much, and that's it, because they definitely pushed me in times where I'm not even going to lie, it was scary, and I didn't want to keep going. So in that way, they're amazing.
Yeah. Well, so your mom was on the podcast that you guys have recently, and she was talking a little bit about her kind of involvement in your lives, especially yeah. your dating lives. So has she taken more of a backseat since you've gotten a little bit older?
She, you know what? I trust their opinion a lot because I think when we make, you know, decisions based on like emotion like that, I think sometimes you can get it wrong, right? They never really, at least for me, being the oldest, I've always wanted who I date to get along with my family, and that's great. They don't get involved in the day-to-day of that. So let's talk about it a ton. You know what I mean? And let's feature that on the show a million times. Even though those conversations, like, we're probably happening with a little bit less frequency. If it wasn't something that we were catching.
Like, they aired every time the conversation would happen. You know what I mean? Like, put it that way. Right. Like, it's not something that was, like, so beaten to a pulp that was like, oh, we got to cut half of it. And, like, it's not you should finish, but we have very different approaches to dating and our parents.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, extremely polar opposite.
Yeah. Well, I think it's got a lot to do with, like, my age, though. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted whoever I date to be a part of that dynamic because it's the one I've wanted to recreate, right? Chris has seen some of the, you know, the not so positive experiences that come out of that, okay, especially when we were younger, and said, yeah, I'm just going to keep everybody away, which is probably a lot smarter. But, I can't think of anybody that I've dated in the last, you know, since I've been around you guys that they haven't been super cool with and, you know, maybe not liked after a certain amount of time because how things have gone.
His face is telling a different story.
No, dude. I'm saying, like, when they've met them, they're nice to them.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, afterwards, they could say, hey, listen, you know, I didn't think this person was a good choice and here's why, or they did something that, you know, we didn't like. But, I mean, that's our family, right? We have each other's backs. It's what we do. So,
yeah.
But they're super nice.
I don't tell them a word.
Really?
Yeah,
they don't. I don't care about their I do care about their opinion. I do care if they like the person I'm dating. It's not contingent on whether or not I date that person. It's
right.
I have to date them, not you.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you like them, but I don't bring anyone to the house as like a, hey, what do you think? It's like, hey, look who I'm dating.
You are presenting them.
It's presenting.
Yeah.
I'm not asking
this
for approval.
This isn't up for discussion.
Right, I'm not asking for approval. I'm telling you, you know, this is who I'm dating. Lucky for me, it's been nothing but good things. I think I have pretty good taste in who I bring home and what have you, but they're not involved in my life at all. I mean, they would like to be, but it's to the point where my mom doesn't even try. She doesn't ask. She doesn't. And I've worked very hard on that. You know, it's been about 10 years of me being absolute stonewall and not saying a single word. So they don't get involved in my life at all with it, but they definitely care. You know, they're curious and all that, but we take very different approaches when it comes to dating. Always have.
Yeah.
And Al always says I learned from him, but I'm like, you keep doing the things that you're doing.
Yeah, no.
You can learn from yourself as well.
Yeah, but I don't not, you know, it's weird. I don't look at that and it's still what I want, you know, just because it's like even the way I feel like how I am in relationships and stuff, I think I don't regret the way I handle myself because honestly, like I want to get back what I put in, right? Mm-hmm. So like I think it's the type of thing where you're going to find somebody that's a fit in every single aspect of life. Just because one person doesn't appreciate something doesn't mean it's like, you know, it's going to be like that throughout. So I think I don't let it really change my behavior and the way I approach things. If I thought my family was impossible to get along with, you know, sure. But that's not what I think. I think actually they're more of an asset than anything else to the relationship. So,
yeah. Well, given all the time you guys have spent on television, do you ever, like in public, are people throwing out certain lines to you guys? Is there anything that often comes up still from the show?
It was definitely a lot more than it is now.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. I will say I'm really surprised at the amount of people that we still do that do still. I mean, I'm pretty easy to find these days, so I'm always at the restaurant. A little bit less so lately, but we get people from just this weekend, London, Australia, Canada. You're like, hey, I just came in. We're here for New York for a week. The first place we came was Hoboken, New Jersey. And I'm like, that's not something I don't think anyone's done. It's like, oh,
right.
Before we hit Manhattan, we got to check out Hoboken. So, and Hoboken's a great town. It's just, you know, it's no one goes across the world for it.
Right.
And that's really cool. You know, like really, really cool to have all these people from all over the world, all over the country that come here. People, you know, their whole life go to New York, plan a trip to New York and to take a day to go to, you know, see us. And they ask questions that, like, of course, you got to answer as many as you can. Like, that's so cool with people. But I've been in the town I live in now for 10 years. And people there now just could not care any less about
right.
the show or anything like that. It's more of a, like, an inside joke, to be honest with you, with most of the people that even if I don't know them, you know, they'll be like, hey, there's no cameras here or anything like that. It's mostly stuff like that. But it used to be when I'm out of New Jersey, it's a lot more, believe it or not, because I think it's more, I'm so accessible in New Jersey, like I said, that anyone that's wanted to meet me the past 9 years has definitely
right.
had their chance of one of the 10,000 things I've promoted. So I think, yeah, I still get a lot, though. There's definitely, I'm trying to think of what it is.
I mean, it's every day. You hear it every day.
Yeah,
it,
Instagram's funny because it's kind of like the show never stopped in a certain way, especially Al. I mean, I don't post that often. I'm a very bad at being a millennial. I don't know how to do a lot of the I know how to do it. I just don't know. I don't promote myself well.
Right.
This is what people tell me. But Al and Lauren and Mom, because they're there on Sundays. I'm obviously working Sundays, but it's almost like another mini show. Like, I go home from work, and I'm like, all right, let me see what I missed on the day. And, like, Al argues with Marky and all this other stuff. So people will come in, and they know so much about our current day. You know, they don't ask very much about the show and, oh, do you talk to this one or that one? They ask about, like, oh, how did this go? And I'm like, that was a week ago, and we're not on TV anymore. Yeah,
how did you know that?
So when we started the show, there was no social media. It didn't exist
yet. Yeah.
You know, we were in this building in Andy's office talking about how people message him on Facebook, and we were talking about how, like, isn't it weird people are allowed to message you on Facebook
now? And now look at it.
And now it's now people know to the second what we're doing.
It's, yeah.
So it's the evolution of everything since the show started has been so crazy.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. I mean, it's actually the first, that's a funny story, the first time we were ever in this building, and we go into Andy's office, and it's it was a press day for Housewives, and Andy says to me and Chris, it's 10:30 in the morning. And he's, like, joking around, like, you guys, like, you know, you see Andy. Andy's, like, obviously a ton of fun. He goes, you guys want a shot of tequila or something? I mean, Chris is looking at me, we're like, yeah. And he's like,
how old are you guys at this
Chris wasn't 21 yet. And I'm just like, and immediately we're both like, yes. And he's like, I'm joking, like, you know, because there's this bottle of stuff at his desk. I'm
right.
Like, oh, well,
we didn't do the shot.
No, we didn't do
I'm
the
not
shot.
Just saying that to no, save Andy either.
Yeah.
We really didn't.
But he was like.
But we said yes.
It was immediate. And, you know.
I don't think he was ready for that game of chicken. He was like, yeah, I just want to do a shot. Right. Yep. He was like, soon. And then.
Yeah, it was
But
really
I remember, you know, it's so funny, though. Like, even then, I remember both of us, like, kind of, and Andy wasn't who he is today. Obviously, he's so much. I mean, back
well,
then,
it was a web show.
It
wasn't
Watch
What Happens. It was like this,
and we did this little web show thing. And I remember we left, and we were so like, "That was Andy." You know what I mean?
Right.
And again, it wasn't Andy today. It was like Bravo. He was a huge deal, and people that knew it. But now, of course, it's a different story. And we were like, we had to do a shot. Maybe, what if we never meet the guy again?
Right. Yeah.
Now it's like we have more conversations and memories than we could really remember. You know, but it's. We reflect a lot more than we used to on like the Bravo time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I think there's, I mean, I wouldn't take a second of any of it back, you know, like there's just so much of it. Like, it's weird for me thinking of, I do look at it in two different ways, though. Like, Housewives was one thing, and it was like being trapped in a 5-6 year long anxiety attack. And then Mansfield was kind of like this little, like, you know, Advil you took after the migraine that was just fun, you know. But I think it was easier, and there are a little bit, you know, there are elements of both that I think are a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, we had a ton of fun. Like, there are a million stories like that, like with the Andy things, and that we look back on and just it was just a blast, you know. Like for 10 years, like, I mean, how many people get to say they even, like, you know, do it for an episode type thing. So it's cool.
Right. Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about the podcast. Mm-hmm. How did that get started? What was your inspiration behind that?
Like most good ideas, it was Chris's. you know, I can't take credit for any of that for sure. And I think just basically by virtue of my name rhyming with Abby, like, you know, that's how it happened. So Chris had done it. We did it one time and basically was like, look, we got to turn this into a podcast. And
well, he says we did it one time. We were working with a network, that really small group that just wanted just to hire us to do a show. And I was like, well, you know, I'm a free agent. Why not? So we did this little tiny thing, more so just to kind of stay sharp, because we were seeing what else we could do in the TV world and what have you. And something went wrong. I don't know. A guest didn't show up or something like that. It was a sports show. And I out of nowhere, I was like, what if we just pulled all Dear Abby questions and we just asked Al the same questions? And they're like basically advice questions from like the 40s that I think one of them was like, I have a pet jaguar and I think he's gay. Do you have advice?
Yeah, that was a real question.
And it just ever since, I think it was that question that we were all like, this is
something. This is amazing. I couldn't get over the fact that the guy had a pet jaguar. I was
right.
Like, you know,
I'm still stuck on that
Florida,
part of it,
by the way.
Yeah, which probably explains it. You know. But, you know, so basically, you know, we go from there. We record, you know, we had a bunch of podcast equipment still, like, you know, from years earlier. And we record like 5 or 6 of them, whatever it is. And hey, Chris, I sat on that too. Remember? We sat on that, meaning we didn't release it right away.
I thought you were talking about my phone.
No. So I was really, I listened to them back, and all I knew for sure is that I was having fun doing the show with Chris. I was really, really worried about how people were going to react because I said, oh, my God, this is such a typical thing. Like, you know, you got ex-hack reality TV guys. Like, you know, now you're doing a podcast. It's so like, you know, and
we had it recorded for so long.
We had it forever.
Released it.
And it went up in September. It went up on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And I didn't say anything. I said nothing. So 3 weeks came by and the producers of the show, the guys that we did this with, basically were like, look, you gotta say something, come on. And I felt really bad because at that point, you know, everybody had worked really hard on it. And I just was like, all right, you know, fine. So I went down to the gym. It was in the middle of the day on a Tuesday and said, all right, I'm going to post it at like 2:00. So if nobody reacts and nobody responds, then I'm not going to feel bad about it because I'm going to say to myself, well, yeah, you did it at 2:00 on Tuesday. Nobody's going to see
right.
it. And as if that didn't make me feel worse, when I was picking the picture, I said to Chris, hey, listen, which one of the pictures do you think we should use? And Chris was like, I think you might want to leave me out of this one. He goes, I don't know if I – Chris like didn't even want to be.
I didn't want to be.
He didn't want to be in the picture. So I'm like, you know what, screw this. So I pick one of me and him. I post it. I put my phone down. And then all of a sudden – you know, next thing you know, everybody, my DMs went nuts. The comments were about as crazy as anything that we've done since TV. And it was really, really cool because everybody was saying the same thing, which was we just missed you guys. And hearing just what's going on in your lives and hearing you guys go back and forth, the banter and all that stuff was like brought us back to the old days of this and that. And then we had this email address that we put up there just kind of like as a gag, see if people will write in.
We were reading fake Dear Albies. Like, we were saying that people were writing into the show.
But we had never promoted the show before.
We never promoted it. Yeah. Right. We were just like, oh, I don't know what the hell. Like, we're running out of Dear Abby's. Like, maybe people are going to want to write it. I'm being honest. I don't know if I'm not supposed to say any of this. But we were like, well, maybe people will listen if they hear that we're answering people's questions. So we just started making them up. And then we only did that for like a week.
Well, we put it on Instagram once. Well, I put it on Instagram and I said, hey, I go, answer,
right.
ask us questions. So they were real from Instagram, but there were a couple that before we had that idea, like episode one or two, one of the producers just like wrote in one. And I'm like, this is impossible. Like, nobody sees this. And finally, like, yeah, I did it. And I'm like, so like.
We
it
did
was
it more
kinda,
than once. I'm calling. I'm
so,
going
to no, 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 no,
I'm
being
we
serious.
Don't do it anymore.
No,
we
didn't have
out.
To. So,
right.
But like the Instagram thing happened and we definitely got a lot of but people were, I was getting like hate mail. Because, like, months after that, people were like, you made us email this random account and don't tell anybody why. And, like, you know, all these things. So then finally, after we announced
Kanye
it.
Of him.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, man.
Right.
No, it's
so
cool.
Just,
I'm an artist.
Find out why.
So then next thing you know, after we announced the show, that email blows up. And we hadn't, we haven't read a Dear Abby in I don't even know how long.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is, and this has always been a thing for us with Manzoed, with Housewives, with season 2 of Housewives, season 3, season 4, all of it. We always assumed no one cared about us, like, a lot. Like, to the point where, with this podcast, I was like, this is going to be a 3-digit number of people listening, and we're going to feel broken. Like, we're not going to like what... that's why, honestly, it's a lot of, like, we don't want to know. And we were really pleasantly surprised. Like, that's the coolest part, like Al said earlier. When people say, oh, we missed you guys, whatever, it kind of makes you realize, like, that we were doing something that a lot more people cared about than we kind of realized, because there's so many shows. I'm looking at 1,000 of them on your wall
right
now of just like, oh, there's so many things. Like, it's so easy for people to forget us, you know?
Yeah.
But it's cool that they don't.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. So, I mean, compared to being on television versus podcasting your thing?
Well, I think we're having fun with it just the same way we had fun with TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think our thing is just being ourselves and having fun. Whatever, you know, whatever medium is going to pick that up, whether it's like, you know, a 4-camera crew or Instagram, like it's we're just always ourselves. And we don't sit, like, I don't read the Dear Albie questions beforehand. I don't sit down and say, oh, hey, like, you know, this is how everything's got to be done. And there's a plan. I think what works with us is just being us. And if people hated that, that was a decision we made before doing Housewives. If people were going to dislike us, let them dislike us for the real thing, not who we pretended to be, you know? And I think that we have fun doing the show. It's something that we'll just keep doing as long as it's fun, you know? And, you know, I don't really have an idea of where we want it to land. Like, for us, it's just easy. Every few weeks, we jump on there. We do our thing. You know, people now want it more than once a week. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we won't. I have no freaking idea. Like, we come on, we do our thing, and people seem to like it, which is really all I can ever ask for, you know?
Well, we do have some bits of advice, or advice seekers, I should say, from Twitter. So I wanted to read a couple of these two guys and see.
I saw one. It was so personal.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of them were pretty much like, oh, boy. Okay.
All of them are, really.
We had a moment where I was like, I kind of yelled at the audience, and I was like, stop telling me that you're 26, single, and can't figure out your life. That's boring. It's boring. We have people
that's every 26-year-old.
Yeah, that's welcome to the club. Okay? It's just called being in your 20s. But then we're like, spice it up, even if you have to lie. And I don't know if they're lying or what, but the questions we've got ever since
probably aren't. No,
they're going way too deep. They're going way too deep to be lying.
Well, so here's one from Jonathan in MN, Minnesota, perhaps. I continue to be friends with someone who has no boundaries on friendship. How do I break it off? After 6 years of friendship, he's too overwhelming.
No boundaries of friendship? I mean, first of all,
what
so like
an example of that?
A typical, like a Dear Albie moment, right? This is typical Chris, and I know what I'll do. These are like follow-up central things. We want to know every little detail about this stuff. Like, no, tell it. Like, come on. Like, how is it overstepping? What's going on? So personally, you know, without a ton of context, I mean, I'm of the higher, slow, fire, fast mentality when it comes to every little thing. Like, friends, relationships, this, that, and the other. So if there are boundaries, like, see, what aggravates me about a question like that.
I don't break
like
up
that,
with friends.
I want to know.
Like, I'm just like, now we're not friends.
Yeah, no, no. You keep it in the back of your mind and like maybe get some distance, but I want to know what overstepping the boundaries
is.
See,
I've never heard of that as a friend. Like, is that someone that asks too many questions? Like, well, it's your friend. Like, what
well,
do you want
is
to
he
do?
Going home and like the guy's just like posted up on the couch with his mom talking, saying like, you know, we really like, we're really upset about like, let's say his name's Adam. Like, you know, I've been thinking about, is that like the cable guy? Like you walk into an intervention. You know what I mean?
To me, I don't break up with friends. I'm just, now we're just not friends anymore. Like, I don't need, I have way too
There's
many.
There's no breakup text.
I have way too many people that I have to, like gently, yeah, exactly, that I have to, like, get out of a relationship. If I'm in a fight with family, I have to have a, I don't know if you guys are, families are like mine. If there's an argument over anything, you all have to meet in a basement or in a kitchen somewhere, all of you, and talk it out. My friend, I don't have enough time to do that with my friends. Yeah. So now it's either we're friends or we're not, and there is very little notice when that line is crossed.
Yeah, we're too busy fighting with our family to worry about fighting with our friends.
I think the kids call it ghosting.
Yes, that is what they call it. Well, here's another one. This one has a little bit more context, so this one might be easier for you guys to answer. So this one is from Michael, and he says, my boyfriend is always taking care of his family more often than necessary. He's only 23, but has three jobs just to support them when they are more than capable of doing it on their own. He has too much on his shoulders, and they take advantage. At first, I saw it as sweet because it's family, but now it's a hindrance.
That's the one I saw on Twitter.
Right. Yeah.
And I woke up to that because it was in all caps as well, I think.
Some part. Family is in all caps. Yeah.
Oh, because it was very startling when I opened Twitter this morning. I mean, all I would say there is, like, clearly he's a provider, you know, when you have your own family, that will benefit you as well. But I don't understand ever the like, providing for your family thing if you're not either, like, unless you're in a peculiar circumstance, you know, if one of the parents aren't around or what have you, whatever it is, who knows. But I think when you're in your 20s especially, like, you need to kind of, that's the foundation of your life. You kind of have to get yourself together, which I wish someone told me when I was 23.
They're 23?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's kind of like two little approaches that I would take to that. Number one, I look at that as more of a pro than a con. I think the fact that somebody is willing to do that, sacrifice for their family, and you know, that's a representation of who they are as a person. That's probably a big reason why you want to be with him in the first place, you know. So
it might say something about the family you might marry into.
But you know what, though? You got to think about what the circumstances are, and to your point, you don't know if it's necessary because maybe the parents can't work or this or that. The second thing, and this would really be more advice to the boyfriend, I've got to be honest.
They're capable of taking care of themselves.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know how deep that, I don't know, like, the boyfriend is probably in a better position to answer that than the actual guy that's writing. But what I'd say is this, right? You know, at 23 years old, the chances of you guys ending up together long term, you know, slim. So if I'm the other guy, frankly, don't worry about being a selfish boyfriend. Let him look out for his family, because that's who's staying around forever. I've got to be honest. It's almost like a selfish thing. You can't, like, I think the guy writing that question is a little bit selfish.
A little bit. But in true Dear Albie fashion, we pretty much put a bow on it like this by saying, also, he might just be cheating on you because he has three jobs.
This is what Chris said.
Busy. He runs around. Oh, my family, no, my family, my family. There's a good chance that there's another person right now. Like, this guy's always taking care of his family, but he's spending time with you. You got to look into
Think about the problem now you are in this kid's life.
Oh, yeah.
This kid's got three jobs, supporting his family. He's got a boyfriend that's criticizing him for it. The poor kid always trying to do his help everybody, and now you're throwing him that he's cheating?
I didn't think about that.
You are the worst thing that's happened to him, and I don't even know how long.
But see how easy it is for you when someone's dead? Oh, my God.
Michael, take all of this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
He's probably not cheating on you all the time.
Stop being a selfish boyfriend. That's what I think. Your guy's a good dude. Stick it out.
Well, there we go.
That's what I think.
All right, let's do one more. This one is
show up to all the jobs, though, just to be safe.
Yeah, right?
just unannounced.
Psycho.
This one's pretty straightforward. Tips for saving money while just out of college and paying off tons of student loans.
Just talk to somebody else. Right?
Work three jobs is pretty much what we should tell them to do.
Yeah.
I truthfully... I can't give advice on saving money to anyone. I'm the absolute worst person I know with spending and budgeting. I'm getting better slowly. The only advice I can give is that it's so important. It's now at going on 30, looking back and being like, I can't buy a house right now. Now, granted, no one can, like, at all.
Right.
I feel so I don't feel as lost because everywhere I turn, there's someone in my exact same position. But it's very it's hard out here, man.
Well, I guess the tip could be then, like, figure out a budget. Like, put yourself on a budget.
Talk to someone smart and listen to what they say.
Right.
That would be, like, don't ask me. Maybe Al, not me.
But you know what? I think it comes down a lot to, like, you know, what are you feeding in this sense? Like when you're investing money and even emotionally, like, what are the things that you're getting back from all of those? So, like, whether it's time, money, effort, even emotions and personal relationships, like, you know, what am I getting back? So if you are, you know, if your goals are to own a house one day, okay, going out every weekend to a nightclub is not conducive to that. Like, just kind of chill out and don't worry about what your friends are doing and this and that. Just kind of be committed to what those goals are and do things that, you know, feed those, not the ones that send you back in another direction. It's really easy. Like, you know, it just comes down to, again, knowing what you want and being disciplined. That's really all it is.
But also, if you really want something, you should buy it.
I like this dynamic here.
If you really want something, buy it. You know, because you can get hit by a bus tomorrow and you'll be like, oh,
well, look, you got to have fun.
I wish I got those shoes now.
You got to enjoy life.
If you don't spend it, it's just paper, man.
It's true. It's just money.
That's what I'm saying. Don't listen to me. See, I can't help myself. I have bad advice.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
I have some comments on this room real fast.
Please.
I think it's really funny that all the housewives, just for, there's a bunch of pictures of, like, every Bravo show in this room for those that aren't here. And all the housewives are dressed up in, like, all these fancy dresses. And the Vanderpump people, you're like, just get naked. We don't want you wearing any clothing whatsoever. It's all the most beautiful people on the planet.
Yeah.
In like a Calvin Klein ad. I would buy any underwear that they're wearing. Anyone. I don't even care what it is. They're like, it's a collection of beautiful people. And everyone else, you're like, cover up. But those people,
everyone's in very, very good shape there.
It's crazy. I don't know if you guys noticed. Like, I feel bad. The person keeps taking pictures. The back of my head, because I keep staring at all these pictures of how different everyone's dressed the exact same in all these pictures. And then all the naked people from Vanderpump.
Right.
It's so amazing.
That's the way it should be.
Every single housewife.
It makes you realize why we don't have a show anymore, because these people are so good looking.
Well, this was fun.
Well, thank you so much.
Good catching up.
Thank you to our guests, Chris and Albie Manzo. And be sure to check out their podcast, Dear Albie, which broadcasts live from Chris's restaurant, 10th Street Pasta and Pizza in Hoboken, New Jersey.
And make sure you're subscribed to The Daily Dish, because we'll be back with a regularly scheduled episode on Thursday.
Bye.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.